Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege of praying together. Thank Thee for Thy mighty goodness to us. We ask that Thou wilt bless our hearts together as we look into the Word of God today. Grant that every need of every waiting heart this day might be met. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4. We've come in our study of the book of the Revelation to the third division. We've been using the outline presented in verse 19 of chapter 1, where John was instructed to write the things which he had seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be after these things. We have noticed that the last statement, the things which shall be after these things, refers to the things that are in God's program after God is through with the church on this earth. We reminded you that the age in which we live now is called the church age, and the Lord Jesus Christ is working through the church. When I speak of the church in this manner, I'm not speaking of the organization. I think that anyone who is alert is aware that God has ceased to work through organizations in many cases. He is working through the body of Christ, which is made up of born-again believers. As we have pointed out to you in the prophetic word, the church age will come to a close, and the church will be taken out of the earth. That is the next thing on God's prophetic program. How soon it may come, we do not know. But we have noticed in our study of the book of the Revelation that the rapture of the church, so called, is typically presented to us in the translation of John. John, you will remember, said that he was looking toward the heaven after the church things had come to a close. As he looked, a door was opened in heaven, and he heard a voice saying, "Come up hither." We pointed out to you by comparing Scripture with Scripture how this typified that event to which we all look forward, namely, the rapture of the church. Just as certainly as John heard that voice, we will hear it someday. We too will be translated so that we shall not see death. We, like John, will stand in the presence of our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said in verse 2 of chapter 4, or John said rather, in verse 2 of chapter 4, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardian stone." Immediately, John was in the presence of the Lord. Through John's eyes we look, and we find the throne. We behold our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not presented to us in words which a poet could incorporate into a song or a painter could make into a picture, but in words symbolically representative of our crucified and risen Lord. John feasted his eyes on the Savior. How long? We do not know. Certainly, we will be loath to take our eyes from him in that day. But John did look around the throne room. Six things met his gaze. Six things he saw in the throne room of heaven. Three of them were inanimate objects. That is, three of them were not alive, and three of them were abstract objects. We've looked at the abstract objects, and we merely mention them this morning by way of review. The first thing that John noticed was, in verse 3, a rainbow that looked like an emerald about the throne. We told you as we compared Scripture with Scripture that that rainbow signified the reason for God's judgment upon the world, namely, the breaking of the everlasting covenant. The second thing that John noticed was described in verse 5, where he said, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices." We pointed out to you by comparing Scripture with Scripture that this was not at all unusual for John to see, because every time in the past that God was about to deal in judgment, his pronouncements were accompanied by thunderings, voices, and lightning. We suggested that several times over in the book of the Revelation, every time a judgment is about to be pronounced, every time God is about to act, there are thunders, lightnings, and voices. The third inanimate object that John saw is presented for us in verse 6, Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. We pointed out to you that the sea of glass was not a sea, but actually had reference to a piece of furniture found in the tabernacle in the heaven, reminding you that Moses on the earth built the tabernacle according to the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. Moses designed the furniture in that early tabernacle according to the design of the furniture in the tabernacle in heaven. Moses designed a piece of furniture called the laver. It was referred to as the molten sea. It was that piece of furniture designed to contain water, whereby the high priest washed his hands before he went in to intercede for the people. We pointed out to you that it was typical of the Word of God in its cleansing power. But now, the laver so often used by the high priest was turned to glass, clear as crystal, which indicated, as we pointed out to you, that the throne of grace, which is the characteristic of the throne in this day in which we live, has turned into the throne of judgment. Grace is no longer to be the order of the day. The order of the day is to be judgment. We're now ready this morning to begin to look at the three animate objects which the Apostle John saw as he gazed around the throne room of heaven. The first animate object, or the first group, we might say, which attracted John's attention is presented to us in verse 4 when he said, "Round about the throne were 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold." So the first thing that met John's gaze were 24 elders. In verse 5, after we read the statement, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices," we read, "There were seven lamps of fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So the second animate object which attracts John's attention is the Holy Spirit. Now the third animate object or group of objects is presented in the middle of verse 6, where we read, "In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind." Now, the King James Version, which is the text from which I'm reading, says beast, but a better word would be living creatures, because these are not meant to represent false beasts, awesome and terrible, but rather, as we shall see, living creatures that had to do with the throne of God. I'm going to suggest, before we begin our discussion of these 24 elders, ask ourselves what they might mean, that we look at the other passages in the book of the Revelation where something about these elders is presented to us. It might be well for us to refresh our minds about what we find. So we look at chapter 4 and notice that there were 24 of these elders and that they were sitting on 24 seats. A better word for the word seats is thrones. They were sitting on these 24 thrones round about the throne of God. They were clothed in white raiment and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Further on in chapter 4, we find these 24 elders falling down before the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping him, declaring that he is worthy to receive glory and honor. To put action to their words, they cast before him the crowns which they had been wearing upon their heads. Now I would like for you to turn with me to chapter 5 and notice what else is said about these elders, for we're going to find that they are mentioned 12 times in the book of the Revelation. This does not mean that there are 12 places where they are mentioned, but they are mentioned 12 times in the book itself. In Revelation chapter 5, and again in Revelation chapter 7, and again in Revelation chapter 11, and then following in Revelation chapter 14, again in Revelation chapter 19. So I'm going to suggest that you listen carefully as we recapitulate a bit, summing up the various things which are revealed in these passages of Scripture about these elders. If we have in hand all the information about them, I think we will be able to identify them, and it's important for us to be able to identify these characters in this very interesting drama. We'll not have time to mention everything presented in these verses, but we will mention, first of all, that these elders are in the presence of God always in the throne room of heaven. You remember that every one of these passages of Scripture present them in the presence of God continuously. And we might add that they are always present on formal occasions in heaven when some formal event is about to occur. I think we'd better stop there because our time is nearly gone and we wouldn't be able to get into detail any further today. I would suggest that you would examine these passages of Scripture which I have presented, in which the reference to elders is made, and see what you can tabulate in a list as being related to these individuals. And then when we discuss it, we'll see how close our lists get together. Time is gone.